Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? How many are excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? So a funny story, when I was looking at the preaching schedule for this year, I said, oh, I have the 13th. And I was like, Super Bowl Sunday, huh? So for all you sports fans, Pastor Craig loves you guys because he has the pastor that preaches the shortest on Super Bowl Sunday. So Tona, remember that your pastor does love you and he thinks of you. Amen? We are in the last leg of our Restoring the Joy series. How many people have been blessed by that series? Amen? We've gone through a lot of things. This morning, I am going to be preaching on restoring the joy in my mind. And this is something that we all can relate to because have you ever been in those moments where you're praying and then like some crazy thought comes and you're just like, where did that come from? Or when we are one moment in a service and we're just blessed and filled with the Spirit and then we get a little bit of bad news and it just shifts our whole mindset. So this morning I pray as I preach that as I give you this message that it will encourage you with the things that you are dealing with in your mind. And also, I was sitting there as we were worshiping. And I just want to encourage anyone who is dealing with different emotions that keeps you from fulfilling your full purpose in God, you are never too far from his reach. And you are never disqualified because of your emotions. I just want to just put that in the atmosphere this morning. So restoring the joy of our mind. Our minds can be filled with worry, anger, hate, confusion, fear, and all kinds of emotions that have us live each day in dread and dullness. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God can restore the joy in our mind. We all have constant battles that we deal with that comes in our thoughts. I know for myself, there are many times, many mornings where I have to make sure that I flood my mind with the promises and the truths of God because of the thoughts that come in my mind or the feelings and emotions that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. So Romans 12:12-2, our main scripture, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is Paul saying in this scripture? Shifting your patterns and focus can change your life, but it starts with the renewing of your mind. Changing the way you think will align yourself with a life that honors and pleases God. And today I want to declare to you that your mind can be completely transformed and that you can overcome all the emotions or feelings that you deal with on a day-to-day basis. Amen? We also need to have our mindsets changed from a sinful mindset to a godly mindset. We also need to know what the Bible says about the particular thing that we're dealing with. So it's a great thing that we have our phones and we have our, for those who may not be Bible scholars, you may be sitting here saying, well, I don't know what the word says. If I'm dealing with anger, I might not know. You can always just go on your phone, and I do this sometimes. I'll type in, what does the scripture say about anger? What does the scripture say about fear? What does the scripture say about depression? And it will give you the scriptures that you can read to. So just a little side note. If you're ever feeling like, I don't know, I'm new to Christ, I don't know what the Bible says, there's always an outlet for you to get there. Amen? One of the points that I have on there is, we need God's truth to silence the lies that the enemy will speak. Church, we have an enemy and an adversary whose main job is to speak negativity and to make us doubt, fear, and worry. Even though we have the spiritual truths, we know the promises of God, but the enemy is always going to try to like misinterpret what the word says and bring fear and doubt. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted after he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? The enemy was twisting the word, but Jesus came against that with the truth of the word. Amen? So in March, this March, March 29th, I'm going to turn 40 years old. Amen? Oh, praise God. Still young, amen? But in my early years of ministry, I was part of a ministry called Teen Challenge. Anybody ever heard of that ministry, Teen Challenge? Teen Challenge is a 15-month, faith-based drug and alcohol program for young adults, teens, and there were some older people in there too as well. So Teen Challenge would take these individuals into the program for 15 months and basically teach them biblical and spiritual truths. So my job at Teen Challenge was the intake coordinator. So whenever they came into the program, I would be the first person that they would deal with. And I would see them at their worst. I would see them as they walk in with no hope, relationships with family members, wives, children, totally destroyed, broken. And a lot of them would say, I don't know if this is going to work because I'm a drug addict. That's what they would be confessing. So when they get into the program, the first phase of the program is scripture memorization. And one of the first scriptures that they would learn is a very popular scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. And as I was studying for this message, I was like, Lord, this whole time I worked there and I would see the miraculous things happen, but it was just funny to me that the first scripture for those people who felt lost and hopeless, the first scripture they came to know in contact with was 2 Corinthians, saying that they are a new creation. So why am I saying that? The lie that was spoken over them was totally destroyed by the truth that God spoke in his word for that situation. So they felt like they were lost, but God was saying, no, you're a new creation. And guess what? Not only are you a new creation, the old is gone. So your drug tendencies that you had are gone, and the new have come. So now you are walking in the light of Christ. You have a new purpose and a new plan. And I would watch these individuals. It would be so amazing when their families would come and visit them and say, who is this person? They're not the person I dropped off. They're not talking the same. They're not speaking the same. But it's by the power of the word of Jesus Christ that changes these individuals. It changed their whole mindset of who they are. And many of these men and women have gone to be pastors, ministers, evangelists, and just pillars in their community. But it all started with changing their mindset of what they thought they were and hearing the truths of Christ. So my first point this morning on how we restore the joy of our mind is to renew it with the word of God. Church, it is so important, especially in these times, that we are in our Bible, that we are in our word, and that we know what the word says, because many will twist the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we need to be aware of what the Bible says. What are the truths? So when we're dealing with fear, what does the scripture say? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7, this is a scripture that you can stand on. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, peace, and of a sound mind. Those are some scriptures that you can put in your memory bank if you're dealing with fear. My second point this morning is to take every thought captive. So when the thoughts come, when the fear and the anxiety and the depression and the doubt and the worry comes, you have to take it captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captive and to the obedience of Christ Jesus. So when these thoughts come, you have an authority, a God-given authority, to take all thoughts that are negative and not the thoughts that are not of God. You have the authority through Jesus Christ to take them captive. And not only take them captive, but make them come under the obedience and the lordship of Jesus Christ. You no longer have to be ran amok through your emotions. You have the authority through Christ Jesus to take every thought captive. My third point is to pray God to bring peace to your mind. Philippians 4:6, it reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, which transcends all understanding, and he will guard your hearts, your mind, in Christ Jesus. Sometimes you just have to say, Lord, and be honest. God, this situation is bigger than me, and I'm dealing with these emotions. Can you bring peace to this situation? Can you bring peace into my spirit? Can you bring peace into my mind? I know fear and worry and doubt is not of you, and I know it is of the enemy. So, God, I'm asking for you to bring peace in my mind. And then my fourth point is ask the Lord for the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5-11. It reads, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself with the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above all names. And with that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. For God to be exalted, he had to humble himself. And for us to be exalted, we need to humble. So if you're dealing with pride in your life, this is a scripture that you can read and that you can stand on and say, God, change my mindset when it comes to pride. Let me be more like you. Let me have your mindset. Amen? So I wanted to share some things and be very transparent about some feelings and emotions and things that I deal with. I don't want to stand up here and just give you a message, because sometimes we think that we're the only ones who deal with these emotions. That's what the enemy will tell us. But as you learn and walk with Christ, you learn that we all somewhat deal with the same things. Amen? So here are a couple of things that I deal with and some scriptures and some truths that I have to speak over my life when these feelings. And you can write these down. If you got a pen, I would like you, if you're dealing with any of these emotions that I might deal with, I want you to write these scriptures down so you have truths to fight against these. Amen? So dealing with fear, one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is a truth. So when fear comes, you can go and say to that fear, to the spirit that's speaking to you, and say, I fear not because God is with me. I have no reason to fear because the Lord God is with me. When I have moments when I'm dealing with worry and anxiety, I go to Joshua 1:9. It says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord God is with thee. I will be with you wherever you go. So when you have a situation that looks bigger than you, you have a word to speak over it. And one of my favorite scriptures, Psalms 94:19, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, when doubt filled my mind, Your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. When worry and fear and doubt came into my mind, when I remember your words, when I remember your promises, it restores hope, it brings joy, and it brings cheer in my life. Amen. And I'll be very transparent right now. There are moments where I've dealt with heavy depression. And I've had to look in the Bible when it comes, when that spirit tries to attack me in those moments. Here are some words that I use. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So I know whatever I'm dealing with, I'll never deal with it alone. The enemy will lie to me and tell me, you're dealing with this by yourself. But the word and the truth of the Bible says he'll never leave me or forsake me. He's always with me. I'm never alone. And for anyone in this room, anyone online who can hear my voice, if you are dealing with a spirit of depression, I'm here to tell you, you are not alone. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he will always be there in the name of Jesus. And the second scripture, this is the one I love. It says, John 16 and 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And in this word, read it. It says, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus is letting you know you will have trouble. You will have difficulties. You will have struggles. But the promise is at the end of the word. He says you will have trouble, but he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. So what is he saying, Jay? He's saying, you can deal with these things. They're going to come. They're going to happen. But take heart. Rejoice, because I've overcome all things. There is nothing that you are dealing with that you can't overcome, because when he stretched his arms on that cross, he defeated all things. And us being in him, we have victory. We can overcome every emotion, every difficulty that we deal with, because we are in Christ Jesus. And as an heir to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's my birthright. It's what comes when I confess that he is Lord. The same power that resurrected him from the dead is in me, and it's in you. So as we get ready to close, I pray this morning that if you are dealing with any of these emotions, and we didn't have this planned or anything, but we want to pray for you this morning. Because we are living in tough times. COVID has been a tough thing that everyone has been dealing with. Different emotions, different feelings, fears and worries. But I'm here to encourage you that you can restore the joy in your mind. You can have peace through all things. As long as you stay in the Word of God and you know the promises and the truth of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask if anyone has any struggles that they're dealing with. I want you to come to the front. I want to pray. We want to pray this morning. I don't want you to worry about who's watching or who's looking. But I feel like there's something in strength when we come together as believers and say, I'm dealing with something that's bigger than me. But I'm a firm believer, and I know that God is able to shift your mindset. He's able to change. He's able to restore the joy, restore the peace, restore the sanity. And I want you to know that you're not alone. That is the number one lie that the enemy will tell you, is that you're alone and you're the only person who's dealing with this. And also, as you come, I want to encourage you that there is victory in Christ Jesus. Come on, let's bow our heads. Father God, we are so grateful that we know that we serve a God who overcame all things. Father God, you know the battles, the inward struggles that we all deal with. I speak peace right now. You see everyone here and those who didn't come, Lord, but I speak peace over their minds right now. That joy would be restored, Lord God. Strength and hope would be renewed this morning, God. That they would know that you are there, Lord. You will never leave them. You will never forsake them. You stand right near them. So, Father God, we're grateful. Grateful for your word, your promises that are spoken over us, Lord God. So as we go today, Lord God, I just pray peace, Lord God. I pray that joy would be restored in the minds, Lord God. And that hope would arise, Lord God, in this place. So, Father God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. And we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, can we just put our hands together this morning? We serve a powerful God, church, and he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever think or ask. So we pray that you're encouraged this morning. Amen?
I don't know about you. Jason, stay up on here. We're going to be praying in just a minute. I don't know about you guys, but the Super Bowl's not till 6:30. You can keep going. How many of you are encouraged with that message? Give God praise. Give God praise for putting that on Jason's heart and just pouring out your life and just the incredible gift that was. It was a blessing to my life. And those words just reminding us, the renewing of our mind to be of the mind of Christ is a powerful thing. I want to share with you this moment. We want to pray over just an incredible servant at CTK. Cheryl Moran, come on up if you will. Give her some encouragement as she comes up. Come on up on the stage. I'd like to ask some staff team, if you're in the room, come on up. If you will, we want to, Cheryl is going to be moving to where is it? Edisto Beach. So you have an open invitation. Just call her up. You need a beach vacation. And she's going to be moving to Edisto Beach. She has been a part of Christ the King, gosh, almost from the beginning, 2005. Wow. A long time. She has served in this congregation and I don't know, almost every capacity on our congregational council and more recently in children's ministry and interim in children and then as a part-time in children's ministry and just incredible ways, just pouring out her heart in every season of ministry in this church. And I am so incredibly grateful for your passion, for your heart, the many times we sat in council and conversation and just seeking to lead this congregation in the way of Christ. It's not always easy. She stood in the midst of the gap praying over us as leaders, praying as leaders in the midst of that. And we just wanted to be able to pray over her today, send her off in the powerful name of the Lord, knowing that at Edisto Beach, there's a church that she is going to be blessing and pouring out on, and God's going to show her a new ministry. So staff, come around, pour out your hand. I ask you guys, if you just put your hands out as we pray over her and as she serves with us and in her new future with Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this humble servant, for the way Cheryl has poured out her life for your cause in the profession, in the school system, as a principal, as a teacher, Father, in this church, as a teacher, as an advisor, as a leader, as a council member, Father, she has served you in every way. We thank you for her giftedness, Father. We thank you for the way she has loved us, cared for us, but most importantly, all that you have poured into her that has allowed her witness for you to be so evident in this community and beyond. Father, we pray your blessings over her as she relocates to Edisto Beach. Father, we pray that the ministry that you already have appointed for her there, she will discover. And you will use her incredible gifts to speak your name, proclaim your goodness in that community and beyond. Father, may your blessings go before her. Father, may you fill her with grace and peace. And Father, with the thanksgiving of the mark she has laid on this place. We lift all of these in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give her some encouragement. We love you. That's grace, girl. Oh, my goodness. What an amazing gift. Thank you for your service. Folks, it's been good to be together with you. Thank you for being a part of our worship here at CDK. For those online, we'll look forward to an incredible week together. Have fun tonight. It's the Super Bowl. Tomorrow, what is tomorrow? Valentine's Day. Guys, don't forget, okay? Have a great week. See you next week.